Open your Bibles this morning, please, back to the Gospel of Luke, to Luke chapter 8. We want to continue looking at verses 4 through 15. And before I pray and we begin to go through God's Word, just give you a heads up. We're going to be spending at least a couple of weeks more in this passage and just thinking through what it is that God's Word is teaching us. So if we prepare to do that today, let's go to our Lord in prayer. Our gracious Lord, as we come now at this time, please, Lord, give us the ears to hear, the eyes to see, the heart to truly receive your word down into our heart to bring true life. Lord, I pray that you will teach us from your word about being a sower of the seed. And as we do it, we'll do it according to your word in all that we say and do. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Follow along with me now as we begin reading in verse 4. I'm going to read down to verse 15. When a large crowd was coming together and those from the various cities were journeying to him, he spoke by way of a parable. The sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell beside the road. It was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air ate it up. Other seed fell on rocky soil, and as soon as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it out. Other seed fell into the good soil, and it grew up, and produced a crop 100 times as great. And as he said these things, he would call out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." His disciples began questioning him as to what this parable meant. And he said, "To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But to the rest it is in parables, so that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand." Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those beside the road are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart, so they will not believe and be saved. And those on the rocky soil are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no firm root. They believe for a while, and in a time of temptation, fall away. The seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard. And as they go on their way, they are choked with worries and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart, and hold it fast, and bear fruit with perseverance. If you were with us last Sunday, you know we began to look at this passage together in Luke's gospel, where Jesus is speaking to this large crowd of people. And instead of speaking very clearly and plainly to them, he's speaking to them in a parable. I, as well as others, have referred to this parable as the parable of the souls. Because in the parable, you have the four kinds of soil that are presented to us here that are receiving the seed. However, in Matthew's gospel, over in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 18, Jesus there describes it as the parable of the sower. The more I thought about that, I understand why he did that. Because though he spoke this parable to the whole crowd, he only explains it to his disciples and to the 12. Because see, he as well as they are the sowers. The crowd is the soul. Thus, it is the parable of the sower because his intention was for them to understand. To understand that as sowers, how things were going to be responded to. So that's how we as believers, when we study and go through this passage, we are to be the sowers in need of understanding it. But for any and all that would be here today who are unbelievers, as we go through this soil, this parable, it's really the parable of the soil for you. that you need to understand where you are with God. As he, Jesus, went about sowing the seed of the word of God, the word of the kingdom, as Matthew says in verse 19, we have seen that he has been met with various responses. And this is going to continue. Even moving forward for Jesus, it's going to continue when he sends out the 12. It's going to continue when he sends out the 70. It's even going to continue for the 12 apostles in the book of Acts. And it's going to continue for the church that God starts there, that's going to spread out. And as they scatter, they're scattering and sharing the word of God. Beloved, I want you to understand, it's even for us today. These truths that Jesus is teaching his disciples on this day is something for us to understand better as well. Because as Christians, we have all been given the responsibility to go and proclaim the word, to proclaim the gospel for the purpose of making disciples of Christ. And a disciple of Christ is simply a Christian, a follower of Christ. That is, it is someone who's come to the realization that he or she is a sinner. And as a sinner, they come to the realization, I don't love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. I don't obey God. I don't really have a heart to follow God. I don't want to submit to God. I don't want to serve God. I am under the power and the presence of sin. But I also have come to recognize I'm accountable to God. A God who is holy and without sin. A God who is righteous and demands righteousness. A God who is just and requires justice. As Scripture teaches us, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All are under sin. All are accountable to God. And no one is justified, declared right by God through the works, their works of the law. Thus, no one can get out from under the presence and the power of sin in its grip over their life. And no one can satisfy or please God by anything they do. See, that's what the disciple has come to understand. Really, all of those alls, to become a disciple of Christ, you have to see them as I. That is, I have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I am under sin. That is, I'm under the power and the presence of sin. It has a death grip on my life. And I am accountable to God, a holy and righteous and just God. And I, the sinner, am accountable to him. And I have nothing to offer God whereby he would declare me right with him. Thus, I can't get out from under his power of sin, the presence of sin. I can't satisfy God. All I can do is cry out to God from my heart of repentance and faith. Cry out to God by repentance and faith for God's mercy, saying, God, please don't give me what I so justly deserve. I know you're holy. I know I'm a sinner. And I know you're just. And you would be just in sentencing me to an eternal hell, an eternal lake of fire. I know that, Lord. And I'm asking for mercy. Don't give me what I deserve. Lord, I cry out to you from this same heart of repentance and faith. Would you be gracious to me? Would you be gracious to me, the sinner? By applying what Jesus did to me? You say, well, what did he do? Well, as the Son of God and the Son of Man, he walked in loving trust and obedience to his Father's will as a representative of those who will believe in him. He laid down his life on the cross, where he was suffering and dying, the just for the unjust, where he was standing in your place. He was taking the wrath of God upon himself that you so justly deserved. And he won your victory over sin and death, secured your justification by being raised from the dead on the third day. That's what Jesus did. And the true disciple of Christ has come to recognize that and has come to understand in that heart of repentance and faith and saying, Lord, please be merciful and please be gracious. Don't give me what I deserve. And Lord, would you be gracious and give me what Jesus did? That's my only hope. You see, beloved, this morning, as I've shared that with you, I am really serving as the sower of the seed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the sower this morning of the gospel that I've shared with you, each of you are the soil. You're the field. Your hearts are the field that I have now broadcasted the gospel to. This good news of salvation and redemption. This good news of being reconciled to God through His Son, Jesus Christ. This good news of the forgiveness of all of your sins. This good news of eternal life with God. But you see, just looking out right now at all of your beautiful faces, I have no idea about your heart. Which means I have no idea about the condition of your heart. I have no idea about the seed that I've just casted out, if it's landing on a good heart or not, if it's landing in good soil or not, because I can't see your heart. However, what I'm learning here from Jesus, and as we're going to see from his explanation, his interpretation of this parable, is what will happen. What will ultimately be produced by the seed when it falls into the good heart and when it doesn't. You see, what I have sown falls into a roadside heart or a rocky heart or a weedy heart, as he says here, it will eventually show. But if it has fallen in a good heart, a good soul, it will result in a faith that has roots and a faith that has fruit that will come from it. That's what Jesus is teaching them. He's saying, guys, as I'm preaching, as you preach, and as you continue to preach, understand you're sowing the seed of the Word of God. What we're going to see as we go through this, looking back at verse 12, when that seed falls on the road and describes the devil coming and taking away from their heart. Let me just give you a brief overview, description of this. This first response he's talking about. It can be an immediate response. The person he's describing there in verse 12 would be someone that even today, whenever we leave, before you left today, I could walk up to you and ask you, have you believed in Jesus Christ? Have you cried out to God for mercy and grace? And your answer would be, that person's answer would be, no, I have not. Their heart is dull to the gospel. Either they're disinterested in it, they're defiant towards it. They're maybe just delaying about it. That's what he's describing here in verse 12. In verse 13, when he goes to the rocky soil, that they hear it and they seem to receive the word with joy, but then a time of temptation comes and they abandon that. That second response here, it really would be a person that
may even would come up to me before I even came up to them this morning and say, Pastor, I just want to let you know, in the joy of my heart, I have believed in Jesus. I believed.
And I would say, that's wonderful to hear. It's amazing to hear. I'm thankful to hear. But then sometime down the road, I'd come to them and say, are you still believing in Jesus? And the answer would be, no, I'm not. Because see, when the excitement wore off, and just all the normal problems of life, they realized, didn't disappear.
And on top of that, being now identified as a disciple of Christ became costly to them, maybe through their family, their friends, their finances, materially, physically, maybe even to their own life. And they just basically said, you know what? I don't want this. I'm not really about this. I mean, when I signed up for this, this is not what I signed up for. I just wanted Jesus to forgive me of my sins so when I died, I could go to heaven and be with Him. But as far as it having any impact on my life now, if it was going to cost me anything, I really wasn't interested in that.
So the truth will come out. And what I'm trying to tell you is, what he's teaching here is, a faith without roots is really no saving faith. And then the third response, when he goes into verse 14 about when it falls among the thorns. And notice that we're going to see the key there is when we go through it. And as they just go on their way, something is happening. The word's being choked. It's being strangled hold in their life. You see, this would be someone that could just keep coming Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. It may even be someone who says, I have believed in Jesus. But what you're noticing is, as they go on their way, that is, as they live their life, that when they leave here Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, week after week, month after month, year after year, what you begin to realize is the word's really doing nothing in their life. Because the everyday pressures of life, the temptation of the prosperity and the pleasures of life just keeps choking that word. So as time goes by, maybe at some point, they're just like, I'm just not that interested in this. You know, I want Jesus to get me to heaven, but I don't need Jesus to have anything to do with my life right now. Brother, what Jesus is getting across to them is, a faith without fruit there is not saving faith. Until you come to the last one in verse 15, when that seed falls in the good soil, and the ones who have heard it hold fast to it and bear fruit, and that fruit is with perseverance. You see, that person would be, I could go up to them today and say, have you believed in Jesus Christ? That is, have you cried out to God for His mercy and grace, for the forgiveness of your sins, and your only hope is Him? And the answer would be, yes, I believe. I love Him. I want to follow Him. I could ask that same person tomorrow, and they say, yes, I believe, and I love Him, and I want to follow Him. And then a time of testing would come in their life, and they may sometimes fall, and they may sometimes fail, but by God's grace, they'll get up, confess their sins, and repent, and God will keep moving them down the trail, and they'll come out of that time of testing, and I'll say, as you're going through this, are you still believing in Jesus? And they'll say, yes, I believe in Him. He's my only hope. I have nothing else in this world. And even though the problems of life won't disappear, the priorities of life are still there, pleasures and prosperity of what this world offers is still there, and sometimes they may fall prey to that. But the overall direction and character of their life is, as they're going through that, I can keep coming to them and saying, do you believe in Christ? Are you following Christ? And they're going to keep saying, yes. Because the faith with roots that produces fruit. That's the saving faith. That's what Jesus is trying to get across to them. So as the sower, Jesus is teaching them and teaching us even today this very valuable spiritual truths. That as we go out to sow the gospel, that you're going to have these various responses. But now listen very carefully this morning. Because you see, in God's grace this morning, all of us have the privilege that most in that crowd on that day did not have. And that is, all of us have the privilege of the parable being explained to us. And why that is such a privilege for anyone here today who is not a follower of Christ is that you're going to get something that they didn't that day. And it is my hope that from the grace and the kindness and the patience that God has shown you, that as we walk through this, you will, if you see yourself in verses 12 through 14, is that God will use it to bring about a good heart in you. Truly believe in Christ. I would imagine in a crowd this size in our church, more than likely all four kinds of souls are here today. Which means there are some that are still in need of salvation. Now, if you recall, when you look back in verses 5 through 8, Jesus speaks this parable. As we talked about last Sunday, this would have been something that they were very familiar with, to see a man going out and casting seed in his field. It would not have been uncommon for them to understand the results of what's happening here. That if a seed fell on the hard path, it definitely wasn't going to do anything. If it fell into a little soil there that was simply just a little topsoil, but below it was rock, he knew it wasn't going to do anything. If it fell into an area that had thorns that were there and you couldn't see all that, when it would start to grow, you'd realize it's not going to do anything either. Until it fell into the good soil. But when it fell into the good soil, it would produce a crop. Now Jesus, as I said, to the crowd, that's all he said. That's all they heard. But Jesus, in his grace towards his disciples, begins to explain to them the meaning of the parable. And in verse 11, if you look back there, he says, now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. So again, let's just kind of walk through and think this. First off, the sower. The sower here is really anyone that is spreading the word of God. Spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ for us. The seed, as he tells us here, is the word of God. The word which came from God. That's the message that we are to preach. So we know what the sower is, we know what the seed is, and what I also want you to see is what sowing is. Sowing is simply someone genuinely going out and broadcasting and heralding and proclaiming and sharing the word of God, sharing the truth of God's word, sharing the gospel. When that happens, beloved, that is the sowing of the seed. Because notice something in each one of these, verse 12, verse 13, verse 14, and verse 15. The one common thing among all those four is they all heard it. Verse 12, those who have heard. Verse 13, when they hear. Verse 14, these are the ones who have heard. Verse 15, these are the ones who have heard the word. So all four have heard the word. So I'm saying is that's the sower who has now sown the seed. When he's proclaimed the gospel, he is sowing the seed of the gospel. Which means the soil then is the hearts, the people that are receiving it, hearing it. That's what I mean by today. I'm the sower.
This, what I'm sharing with you, is the seed. I have sown the seed of the gospel in what I shared with you. Now you're the soil.
Now let's look this morning at the first one. And that's probably all we'll look at. Verse 12. This is answering the, explaining what he meant back in verse 5 when he says, the sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell beside the road, and it was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air ate it up. So what he's now interpreting and describing for them about that is in verse 12. Those beside the road are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart so that they will not believe and be saved. Here is one of the responses to the word of God. He describes it as those who are on the roadside. It's those that are hardened. Their heart has been trampled down. Thus, their heart is dull. It's a dull heart towards God. It's a dull heart towards the truth. It's a dull heart towards the gospel. And maybe this person is someone that has lived a very difficult life. And because of that, life has hardened their heart. Hardened their heart towards God. Maybe they even blame God. Maybe this person on the roadside is someone that has lived with and around those that claim to be Christians, but there's so much hypocrisy in their life that they're jaded towards the truth. They're jaded towards the gospel. They're jaded towards Christ, saying, this is not real. If this is what Christianity is, I don't want any of it. I don't want any part of that. Maybe it's even someone that's has grown up in a home, in a family, where they've been deeply indoctrinated against the gospel. They hear this and like, I really don't want, their immediate response is, get that away from me. I'm not interested. I'm not open to that at all. Maybe again, as I say, what you're describing here on the roadside is a heart that maybe has been desensitized. Thus, there's an indifferent response towards the gospel in their hardness. Maybe it's a heart that is defiant. There's an indignant response towards the gospel. I think some can have a deceived intellectual response to it. That's what we just saw partly there in Acts chapter 17 that we read. I mean, whenever Paul was talking to some of those people about Jesus, they were not complimenting him. They said, this guy's nothing but a seed picker. I mean, this is some of the most base, ignorant kind of teaching somebody. For somebody to believe this, you've really got to be a moron to believe what he's saying. There's no way that's true. We are intellectual. Their heart was hardened towards it. But then there were some, even in that crowd, I would say, that were dense, had an ignorant response in the hardness of their heart. And by dense, I don't mean intellectual. I mean this, in a spiritual sense. That is, they just couldn't understand it. When, remember, think about Paul said there was preaching Jesus and the resurrection of them. And they're saying, we don't get it. He's preaching some strange deity and also somebody being raised from the dead. Like, we don't understand this. We can't get this. Beloved, that's the heart he's describing here in verse 12. The things that have or are going on in a person's life, the things they've been taught, they've been convinced of in life, keep just trampling down, stomping on the gospel message of salvation to them. And this is why this is so heartbreaking. Because it says there about the devil. He takes it away.
the devil takes it away from them because he doesn't want it really to linger around in their heart. He doesn't want it lingering around in their mind. He may remind them of the pain and the heartache of life, which to remind them, prove to them, God's not real. If he is, he doesn't love you. He doesn't care about you. Remind them of the hypocrisy that they've grown up around, demonstrating in their mind again, Christianity's not true. Remind them of what they've been taught, that if this is true, do you realize what that means for your family? This can't be true. Just putting things up time and time again, just to take away. You hear the gospel and he wants to sweep in and take it away. Oh, listen carefully, beloved. The devil is not on every corner and he's not behind every bush, but please understand, he is real. And he is an actor who is active on this stage in the world today. And he's still deceiving, moving. As I read about what Jesus says here in describing him as one who likes to swoop in and to steal away the seed, I'm reminded of something else Jesus said about him. He is one who is here to do what? To steal. And one of the things he wants to steal is the gospel away from you. He's here to kill. He's here to destroy. He's here to disguise himself as an angel of light, to keep people in the dark. He's here to blind people to the truth of the gospel. He's here to deceive people and keep them captive to do his will. Why? Because he wants to lead every single one of us to an eternal destruction. Why is this so important, what Satan's doing? Because without the word, there's no opportunity to truly believe and be saved. Satan wants to take that away. He wants to take away any and every opportunity for the word to work in a person's heart, to work in such a way that would bring about a true belief in being saved. He wants to destroy every person. Eternal destruction. You know, for those who have had the grace and the privilege of God to grow up with the truth of the gospel that I shared earlier, he seeks to take that away from you. Especially if you're a young person here, he seeks to take that away from you because he wants to expose you to other things that go against that. And he wants you to entertain other ways of thinking about God, about salvation, about sin. This is what he's about. So for those who are here this morning, and you're a follower of Christ, but you're thinking right now about someone in your life, someone you know, you love, you care about, and you would say, you know what? They're dull to the gospel. I mean, they've grown up hearing the gospel. I've spoken the gospel to them. And listen, maybe somebody you're thinking about is just defiant towards it. They're maybe not defiant, but they're just disinterested. Or they're deeply now deceived about the gospel, how somebody is truly saved. What I want you to take away from this as the sower is a reminder that nothing is impossible with God. Just remember someone like the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, before he was saved, was someone who was ignorantly deceived. And I would say he was indignantly defiant towards Christ and the gospel. He had heard the gospel truth more than once in his life. And his response was one of hatred towards Christ. The gospel for often with Paul just kept falling on that hard soil. It just kept landing there because he was built in resistance towards it, rebellion against it. He was in no way open to it until that day that Jesus intervened, and when he intervened, beloved, he shattered that heart, and he opened his heart wide to him, and Paul believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want you to know, if there's someone in your heart here today, and you're thinking, they are so dull to the gospel, don't lose hope. You keep praying. You keep sowing. You keep sharing. You keep telling them the truth. You keep loving them. You keep living the truth before them. That as you take away any hypocrisy that is there, you just live it out and love them and keep praying that God would work in their hearts. Because see, the devil is powerful, but Christ is more powerful. See, Christ can go in to Satan's kingdom and grab somebody and pull him out. But the Bible says once he has him out in his hand, devil can't ever come back in and grab him and pull him back to his side. He can't do it. He just can't do it. So remember the God we serve. But also, let me just say this, kind of wrapping up this morning. For anyone here this morning, if you were really true before God this morning, you would say, verse 12 is really kind of describing me. I am truly dull, have been dull towards the gospel. I said, you may express that in defiance. You may express that in just being disinterested. You're deceived by your own sin. You're deceived by some false teachings. I have lovingly told you the truth. And yes, Satan may be there working and reminding you of your pain, reminding you of the phoniness around you, reminding you maybe of your parents, reminding you of your philosophies that are out there that are contradicting all this. He's going to keep bringing that back up to you. But I want you to know what I've shared with you is the truth. What I shared earlier about being a sinner, that you have sinned, you're under sin, you're accountable to God for your sin, you can't get out from under it, you can't do anything else to please God. I want you to know that's the truth of where you are with God. But there's also the wonderful good news of the truth of what Jesus has done. And that if you will truly, from your heart, have a heart of repentance and faith, whereby you're saying, God, I realize it's true, and I want your mercy. Don't give me what I deserve, but give me your grace. Give me what Jesus did. He's my only hope. He's the one that will redeem me and save me and forgive me. It is only through him. That's the truth. That's the truth. And I pray, by God's grace, that's what will happen for you today. I want to ask you to bow your heads in prayer for a moment. Whether you're a believer or unbeliever here today, today's message had something for you. I want to give you a moment to reflect on what you've heard. Prayerfully ask God to work in your heart. If it is unto salvation, I pray that's what he will do. You'll cry out to God. Gracious God, oh Lord, I pray today for anyone that is here that is lost.
Lord, I pray today that they will not harden their heart towards the truth, but in humility they will truly repent in putting their faith in Christ. Lord, I pray your word will so work in our hearts as believers that we'll be faithful to sow the gospel, faithful to keep praying for those that seem to be dull to the truth. Lord, we know you can intervene. We pray and ask you to be gracious to those who are in our heart right now. Oh God, save them. Lord, bless your word this morning for your glory. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.